to walk with you, we have to live a life of holiness. That is why we come this morning, that indeed you are going to wash us with the water of the word in Jesus' name. Purify our lives, O God. Purify our hearts, O God. Purify our intellects, O God. Purify our understanding, O God. Lord, from above, O God, do something remarkable in our lives, O God, that we will indeed bow before you. Lord, that we will come in yieldedness before your throne in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. You are welcome to church this morning. We are looking at holiness. And it's one of the most vital topics that we have. But I want to tell you that it is not as common as it used to be. It's no longer the way it used to be. So, and I want us to thank God this morning because we are privileged to hear it. And the Lord God, who is the sanctifier himself, will sanctify you in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 16. I want somebody to read for me. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 16.
Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. For the coming, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heavens through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, yet ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have been preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. Mind, be sober and hope as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. As he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the last verse. Be ye holy, for I am holy.
Praise the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That is the word of God to us. That is the commandment of God to us. Irrespective of how much passion we display, if we miss this aspect in our lives, then we will not be able to serve Him effectively. My prayer is that we are going to serve God effectively in Jesus' name. And of course, the memory verse is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter 1:15, and I'm sure all of us know it. Can we together? 1 Peter 1:15. But he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Let's go again. But as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Let's say it again without looking. But as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, in all manner of behavior, in every area of our lives. And we will live worthy of our calling in Jesus' name. If you look at the introduction here, it says, holiness is a state of being sacred or holy, pure and clean. What does holiness mean to you as an individual? What does it mean to me as an individual? How do I understand it? Because there are many things that pass for holiness these days, that when we weigh it against the Bible, we have a lot of questions. And I like what the introduction says here. It said, to be holy is to be like God. Because as we have just read, the Bible tells us, say, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. So in other words, because God is holy, we have to be holy. So we have to be like him. And we are told to shun all appearance of evil and do good continually and steadfastly. I like those two words. In other words, we don't go on break. We are not permitted to go on break in doing good or to take a holiday. So it says, is a state of being morally blameless or separated to God and the conduct befitting those so separated. So in other words, there are things that are expected by God. Forget about man now. Because at the end of the day, the only person who can decide whether you are holy or not is who? Is God. He has the standard. And the standard for him is not what people see. I mean, what is seen is part of it, but it comes from, you know, his standard looks at what is deep within. So that is why no man is in a position to declare you holy, but God is in that position. And so holiness is the basis of our profession as Christians. In other words, the only reason we can call ourselves Christians is when we live holy. If we lose that aspect of our calling, then we cannot and should not call ourselves Christians anymore. And I'm telling you, if you look at a lot of the things that are happening today, you will actually realize that we do have a misunderstanding of what holiness is, because there have been a lot of word substitution. I want to believe this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. Can somebody read? And then somebody to read Romans 6, 19 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
First Thessalonians 4:7. Praise the Lord. He said, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Unto holiness. This passage is written to which people? The born again Christians, the believers. It's written to us. It's not written. We cannot give an excuse to say it was written to those of old, because people come up with words like grace, love. But the Bible makes us to understand that God, who has called us to his grace, is the same one who has called us to holiness. So, in other words, with our grace is what? Is holiness. And I've told people, I say grace has two actions. The grace of God that draws all men to salvation work the work of saving our soul. Praise the Lord. That's the first thing we do, because it's by grace that we are saved. But that empowers us to live a life of holiness. That same grace also empowers. The grace of God will empower you in Jesus' name. And I'm sure many of us have had people say, look, oh, I used to be so afraid. You know, the reason I didn't get born again, or the reason I was afraid to, you know, I wonder how I'll be able to do it. I wonder if I'll be able to live like this. I wonder if I... And then the grace of God comes upon your life and it becomes a bliss. So shall it be for you in Jesus' name. So we are actually called unto holiness, even though we are in the dispensation of grace, because that grace is able to empower us to please God. Because without that grace upon our lives, we will only struggle. We will not be able to please him. Romans 6:19-22.
For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness.
Praise the Lord. So, in other words, we have a choice to present ourselves to God and allow God to wrought his wonders with our lives. I keep telling us that power of God that comes, or that it's made manifest in the kingdom, is first made manifest in how our lives are changed. Otherwise, we have no business going to people to minister Christ to them, if that power has not been able to change us. The power will change you today in Jesus' name. It is the fundamental identity we should share with Jesus Christ as the firstborn in the family of God. Without holiness, we are not different from the people of the world. Our gathering and worship will not be different from any other gathering in the world if we do not wear holiness as raiment. Holiness is our beauty as Christians. Ah, praise God. Look at 1 Chronicles 16 verse 29. So in other words, whatever we do in the church, if there is no holiness there, what are we doing? We are just playing.
Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Praise the Lord. So we worship the Lord in what? In the beauty of holiness. In other words, holiness has a beauty to it. Holiness has a radiance to it. Holiness has a splendor to it. Holiness has a purity to it. when we come to worship him in holiness, I'm telling you, our gatherings will be different. Our worship will be different. We will see God visiting us in his grace and in his power. And it's so interesting how we use the evidence of our inadequacies to explain the power of God. Many people will say, oh, you see, miracles, they are in those days, they no longer occur now. Do you want to tell me that those things that those people did in those days, you know, that it's possible now? And they are possible. But the problem is that we don't come prepared. We don't come in total submission to him. As we do so, we will see the glory of God in our lives in Jesus' name. Psalm 29 verse 2. Psalm 29 verse 2. And somebody will look at Psalm 15 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 29 verse 2. Again, worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Of his holiness. So in other words, when we don't worship God in holiness, then it's not going to be a beautiful worship. It is not going to be acceptable unto the Lord. Somebody will worship God beautifully this morning in Jesus' name. It is the hallmark of our worship of God in his holy temple. It is the hallmark. That is what makes the difference between us and the people who just say, Lord, 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 that when Jesus will see them on that day, he will say, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. It is those who worship him in holiness that God will say, welcome home, my faithful servant. He will welcome you in Jesus' name. What are the other names for holiness? Let's quickly look at them. What are the other names? Righteousness. Yes. We have them here. Godliness. Another name for holiness is obedience to God. Not a name per se, but a phrase. Is obedience to God. Show me a man who is obedient to God, and you see a man who is holy. When he says, God says, this is what to do, you say, yes, sir. He say, this is where to go, say, yes, sir. This is what to do, yes, sir. This is... You cannot but be holy. So, it goes without saying, show me a disobedient man, and then you see an unrighteous man. Because holiness is purely obedience to God. Sanctification, separation from the world. I like that. Let's look at Numbers 6, 5 and 8. Numbers 6, 5 and 8. Separation from the world. This is the most difficult aspect for us. We are very clever these days. We say because we want to catch them. So we have to be like, say, who want to catch a monkey must behave like a monkey.
Shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of his head grow.
Praise the Lord. So at the point of separation, it's a point of yieldedness, doing what God has asked us to do. Even in those days before Christ came, God has always called his people to be separate from the world. And I remember when the children of Israel, when you read the Bible, when the children of Israel were going from Egypt to the promised land, one of the things that God kept warning them about is be separate, be separate, be separate, be separate. God will help us to live separate lives in Jesus' name. a life of separation unto God. Separation means consecration. When you say separated unto God, it means that you are, you know, when you go to those parking spots in the city, some of those in the high rising, you find out that you keep driving, you know, you keep going up and up and up and up. Why? Because they say when you get there, you see reserved. Some of these big companies have reserved parking spots for their executives, for their workers. You see, how many of us have seen that? You say reserved, and you keep going up, you keep going up. There will be few spaces that are not reserved. What that means is this. Even at night, when there's no one there, do you park in those places? You dare not park because it's reserved. But when you are consecrated, you are also reserved unto God. The devil cannot park in your life. The devil cannot come and establish his throne in your life because you are reserved for the Lord. And as many people as will reserve themselves unto the Lord, the beauty of God will cover you in Jesus' name. So irrespective of that time of the day, irrespective of that circumstance, irrespective of what you are going through, the devil will not be able to park and find a place of abode in your lives in Jesus' name. That is what it means to be consecrated. Because you just belong to God. The world will see you and they know that you belong to Him. He cannot park His load. He cannot come and find a place of convenience where you are. Your life, your body, your home, your properties. Because you are reserved for the Master's use. It simply means agreement with God. I like that. Agreement with God. So in other words, praise the Lord. Agreement with God. In other words, you are always saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. When God says jump, what do you do? Eh? You don't just jump. The only question you are allowed to ask is, Lord, how high do you want me to jump? Praise God. So you are not asking Him, are you sure you really want me to jump? The question is, how high do you want me to jump? So, in other words, live in agreement with God. If He says it's full, we say, Lord, yes, it's full. If He says it is well, we say, yes, Lord, it is well. If He says, you know, it's so wonderful to live in agreement with Him. So in other words, even concerning yourself, if the Lord says it is well with you, you better agree with Him. If you start to dispute with Him, it's not a sign of holiness. If the Lord says you can make it, you just agree with Him. You just say, yes, Lord, because you have said so. If the Lord says, you remember David, when those people came and spoiled them, and he went to God, he told the priest, bring me the effort. They brought the effort, and he looked at it, he said, God, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Shall I recover? And God said, yeah, pursue. You will overtake and you will recover. What did he do? He did as the Lord. He pursued and he overtook and recovered. As you separate yourself to the Lord, everything that the enemy has stolen from you, as you hear the word this morning, you will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover in Jesus' name. Be in agreement with Him. That's all. In other words, when we begin to doubt Him, we are not living in holiness. It may be something that has to do with yourself. Every time you put a doubt, every time every time we scoff God, we mock God, it's not a life of holiness. Every time we make little of the things of God, every time we make light the things of God, we are not living a life of holiness. So a life of holiness is a life of agreement with who? With God. Of course, it's pleasing God. It is perfection. It is pleasing God. It's perfection. In the next few minutes, let's quickly go through what God's attitude is to holiness. Remember some of the things we said. We said when you agree with God, when you are reserved for God, the devil, you know, cannot make your life a playfield for himself. And we'll see why. Because God has an attitude towards holiness. He himself is pure and holy. And because you cannot find iniquity with him, and everything he does, he's just and he's right. He expects the same thing of his children. That is why we are told this morning that because the one who has called us is holy, we too have to be holy. So, he has that standard and that expectation from us, and nothing less than absolute holiness. Exchange the phrase absolute holiness. Okay, let's substitute the word holiness with some of the things we have said, some of the other names. So we are talking about absolute obedience, absolute agreement, absolute perfection, absolute pleasing, absolute sanctification, absolute separation. So it has to be absolute. Nothing less we do. God will give us grace in Jesus' name. I like
Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, I am holy.
Praise the Lord. He told Moses. And you know what? He echoed the same thing when he was speaking to the called out ones, the church. So in other words, his standard has not changed yet. That same old standard. Sometimes we think that he has changed. That same old standard is still the same standard now. I can't remember who I was talking to yesterday, which is something I've said over and over again. I said, look, if we are going to be like every other Christian, if we will serve God like every other person, we will be like every other person around us. Praise the Lord. But if we are going to serve God with absolute trust and with a difference, we will be a people with a difference in the congregation of the people. Praise God. When the estimation is that there will be about 2.5 million people. Am I right? But do you hear the names of all the 2.5 million people? No. God himself will also separate such to himself. I'll do what everyone is doing, you'll get the same result everyone is getting. But if you stretch yourself and go beyond what everyone is doing, you will see the glory of God and he will distinguish you in Jesus' name. Unfortunately, the modern day Christians have relegated the place of holiness to the background. It is not uncommon to hear some Christian claim that no mere mortal can live holy, and so the subject of holiness is seldomly or rarely preached on pulpits of many churches around the world today. Some other people claim we are in the era of grace and so holiness is no longer fashionable. It was for people before Christ. However, the position of God on the subject of holiness cannot be compromised. The truth is that no one will be able to have an intimate relationship with God without holiness. God will not allow sin into his presence or sight. You know, Ephesians 5:5. Can somebody read that? Ephesians 5:5. Praise the Lord. No unclean person. Every form of uncleanness, pride, haughtiness, fear of man, everything that puts, you know, that makes you doubt God. Lying, tricks, every form of uncleanness, he said, it's not possible to see God. God will purify our hearts in Jesus' name. You know, some people have used the word, instead of talking about holiness, we talk about love. Please, the love of God is the ultimate, because God himself is love. But that same God is the one that says we have to live holy. So in other words, you know, in some churches, they say, oh, when homosexuals come in, you know. In fact, churches are now competing on who, how many homosexual or how many gay bishops they can ordain. But the standard of God has not changed. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Praise God. So for this, you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person such a man is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Such a man cannot. Definitely cannot. So God's standard is what? Is total holiness and purity. In closing, let's read Galatians 5, 19 to 26. Galatians 5, 19 to 26. The subject of holiness is a subject that we need to take very, very seriously.
When you follow the desire of the sinful nature, your life will produce these evil results. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is drunk except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, white parties, and other kinds of sin. Let them tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit control your...
Should I continue?
Yeah, continue to 26.
Okay. But when the Holy Spirit controls your life, it will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desire for their civil nation to the cross and crucified them there. If you are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit.
I like that. If you are living now by the Holy Spirit, let's follow the Holy Spirit's leading in what? In how many parts of our lives?
All
parts of our lives. That is holiness.
Let us not become consented or irritate one another or be jealous of one another.
Praise the Lord. That is it. That is holiness. You are Holy Spirit led. Once you are Holy Spirit led, you are guided by the word, because the Holy Spirit will not contradict the word of God. You are on the road. You are living holy when you allow yourself to be Holy Spirit led, not by your lust, not by your passions, but because you say, oh, it just looks good. Oh, yeah, it will look good on my CV, you know. If people say I'm this, it will look good on my CV, you know. It will be good for when they want to recommend me. Or it will be look good when I want to introduce myself. Let not that be the reason, you know. That is what the Bible refers to as what? Vainglory. Vainglory. We will not be controlled by the passions of our flesh in Jesus' name. we will live a life that will be pleasing unto God in Jesus' name, and you will get results. I say you will get results in Jesus' name, because whenever you pitch your tent with God, He put a mark of approval upon your life. He will put a mark of His approval upon your life in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and pray. I want you to just speak to the Lord. Remember, we have just heard that this is not a common message. It doesn't bring in the crowd. It doesn't draw people. But you have been drawn unto Christ this morning, and you have heard this word for a purpose. Why don't you just lift up your hearts unto the Lord this morning and say, Father, purify my heart, O God. Purify me, O God. Like the refiner's fire, purify me, O God. Every dross in me, every impurity in me, everything, O Lord, that will not glorify you in my life, take it away in Jesus' name. I want to live for you and for you alone in Jesus' name, that your beauty and your glory might find expression in my life, O God. My Father, my God, everything that will shorten your hand, Lord, that will make you not want to touch me, my Father, my God, I repent of it, O God, and I come before you this morning and I say, have your way in my life, O God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you because you are raising unto yourself holy people in this church. You are raising unto yourself, even in this dispensation, holy people and acceptable people, peculiar people who have been called to show forth your praise, O God. My Lord and my God, we will not fail in this endeavor in Jesus' name, because your Spirit will sustain us, your Spirit will uphold us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.